Well, this is Mark and Jill Savage, and we are super excited to have joining us today, Rob and Joanna Tigan. And Rob and Joanna are coming to us from Michigan. Welcome to No More Perfect Date Night, Rob and Joanna.
Hi, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we'd love to hear just a little bit about you guys. Can you share a little bit about your family? What do you do? I know you've written some great books. We're going to dig into those in a minute, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, we'd love to. So we just celebrated in the end of March, 28 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. So that was a good milestone. We've got five kids from the ages of 9 to 26. So our oldest is married, and then we've got three daughters, and then an adopted son on the end that's 9. So,
So we were kind of noticing not that long ago, we had a preschooler and a grad schooler and everything in between. So it's been kind of fun to have these ages and stages overlapping.
Yeah.
Overkill moment.
We did. We had that at one time. I said I was potty training and driver's training at the same time.
Yep, that's what it feels like for sure. Yep.
Yeah, it's so true.
And at one point we had one in, it was grade school, one in junior high, one in high school, and one in college. And it was like, oh my goodness, it was just nuts. But,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's all good.
I miss all that excitement.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is exciting.
Yep. Just packaged different.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I read that you guys are actually, you started out as foster parents, or are you still foster parents?
Yep, that's correct. So Mason, we got him when he was 2 months old, and we were fostering as a family. And we had gotten into fostering with the intention that we were going to keep fostering. We didn't know we were going to adopt, but 2.5 years later, he was still with us, and he was definitely part of our heart. And we were praying hard. We didn't know what we would do if God would have had him move on at that point. Right. And so it was a very long journey, a hard journey, up and down. We didn't know to that point if we were going to keep him or not. And then it was another year until the adoption was finalized. So even though he was with us at 2 months, his adoption wasn't finalized till he was about 3.5.
And our kids were right in the mix. Like, they were just as passionate about foster care as we were, but it was very interesting to me after we had several babies and gone through that journey with Mason, that even our college age son was like, Mom, I think you guys need to stop, because I don't want to say goodbye to any more babies. And I didn't realize, even away at school, he was bonding to these little ones so much. So that was a really powerful season, but we did end up closing our foster license.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Wow. Yeah. Well, we're actually foster grandparents.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, our youngest son is 23, and his wife, they're now pregnant with their first, but they started fostering before they ever had any of their own children.
Okay.
So they have a 1.5, well, actually, this month they're turning 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
And our hearts are already, they've won our hearts. So it's going to be
for sure.
They do, don't they? In about half a minute. It's amazing to me how tightly and how quickly you can bond to these little ones. They're so dear.
I know.
Well, and just how they've changed, and it's not even been a year.
They're in foster care because of neglect, and they have just blossomed in.
Yeah.
Not 9 months,
That's phenomenal. I used to say, you know, marriage was kind of a school of prayer, and then having kids was a school of prayer. Mm-hmm. But then fostering and adoption was a whole nother, so it just kind of keeps compounded.
You know what I think that did, though? I think it really did change the culture of our family, even after we closed our foster license, because when you kind of get in a mentality that your home is open and your door is open to whoever God's going to bring through it, that lasted. It's been amazing. So we were able to get involved in a really neat ministry at our church that serves international college students. Mm-hmm. And over the last 5 years, some of these young people have become our kids too. One of our students from the Middle East is living with us for most of the summer, and she truly is our other daughter. So I'm grateful that God had more in mind, even through foster care, than we understood when we started.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that your home is open to others. We've done the same thing. We just had a young lady from Canada that lived with us for almost a year. Mm-hmm. And then we've had them from Korea and China. Mm-hmm. And two of them, one has asked you to do their marriage, their wedding.
Right.
That's great.
That's been really neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Well, let's talk for a moment, because you kind of dovetailed there into, you said that marriage was a prayer school, parenting. You guys really have a passion for prayer, because some of your books are, I think it's, isn't it 100 prayers for my daughter, or it's prayers for my daughter, prayers for my son.
We have two sets of prayer books. We have shorter pocket size ones you can grab and go. And then we have our full powerful prayers for your son and powerful prayers for your daughter they dig in a lot deeper to pretty specific needs that our kids have as they're growing up. So
talk about prayer as it relates to marriage, and talk about that journey for you guys. What really prompted that in your marriage?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because we met at Bible college. So you would think we would have that figured out, but it was a journey through our early marriage years to figure out how to be vulnerable in prayer together, you know, be intentional about prayer together. And so that was a journey in of itself. And really, when I think God broke the dam with that, I guess, was when we did fostering and adoption, because we, for the first time in our life, I think we were really at a place where we couldn't fake that we had any control over the situation, over his life, over our future with him and everything. And so I think we both grew up in Christian homes, and we kind of had this feeling when we went into marriage that our job was to create a perfect marriage. That's why I love your book, No More Perfect Mom and Perfect Marriage, because being in a Christian home, that's kind of what we thought. Even though we saw our parents do it imperfectly and we still love them, we had this idea that we could change that, and we're going to have a perfect Christian marriage. And so we set out on that. And of course that failed pretty quickly. So that when we got to that point, it really released us from that burden of feeling like we had to raise perfect kids. And because we really just, for the first time, we prayed differently for our marriage. We prayed differently for our own kids and their struggles. Prayer really is a release, and we saw things unlock and answer prayers in ways we never had, because we weren't playing prayer anymore. You know what I mean? It became real when we were in that situation. That's, you know, that was a gift in addition to our son. That was a gift that God gave us through that journey.
And I think part of why he allowed the process of making him our own to last as long as it did was, we learned, I think, to be persistent. And that was something we never really had to learn in quite the same way before either. So it wasn't even releasing control. It was releasing control today and tomorrow and in 6 months, mm-hmm. 6 months later, and just this ongoing process of surrender. And so that built a habit that I don't think could have been built if it had been a shorter road.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You said you learned to pray differently. Mm-hmm. Define that. Can you dig into that just a little bit more? How would a couple pray differently? Let's back up first. A lot of couples don't even know how to start to pray.
And they want to. Right.
But then, so would you have any wisdom for that? But then also, what made the difference when you turned a corner and prayer became something so much deeper?
Right.
Do you want to answer that? Or, I mean, I would say, you know, initially, what she referred to, persistence, but intentionality too. I think we did get busy. We had a big family, and it's just, how do you juggle all of it? And I think there is, there's just an intimacy side of prayer, that even in the best marriages, when you come together that way, it's different. So, prayer really is a journey, you know, it's like our faith journey. And so we started being intentional about praying together. So it was a matter of actually setting time, just like you do with date nights and things like that, where you actually set that time aside and pray together. So we were just much more consistent. And I think we approached God differently, more expectantly, because of what we saw him do in that persistent prayer.
Mm-hmm. What did, you guys had a house full of kids. When were you praying?
So we have at our church, we have a prayer garden, which has been really great for us. It kind of helped us set a foundation. So we go there, we set the time aside to go there. Sometimes it's over a lunch hour or in an evening, but we go there at least once a week. And then we try to do the morning thing or the evening thing as we can. But it just that intentionality is, right, is setting it out. And don't, I think we, like you do, you bite off more than you can chew, and then you realize, okay, let's start this and try to build in a habit. And so if you can pray together once a week, even intentionally, and then build from there. So it's been a journey. He's 9, so it's been that long of a journey.
And I think too, there were plenty of days in there where we just really weren't okay. And so my own individual prayer life was growing pretty dramatically. I was praying scripture daily for probably the first time. Our pastor had challenged us to find our psalm, and God gave me a psalm in that season. And I was literally praying that psalm every day, just trying to kind of make it. And I think as a marriage, you see each other stressed or hurting or feeling so out of control and getting beyond yourself. And you have so much empathy for each other, but you can't fix it for each other. And so I think we did a lot more spontaneous praying too, when like, I want to carry your emotions with you, but this is the only way that I can. So there was a lot more prayer before we go to sleep or before we come downstairs in the morning, just kind of coping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think I discovered as a parent first, but then I kind of see how it applies to our marriage too, that we oftentimes try to have control of the situation. And when I rely on my own power, I guess, I usually step into things when I need to stay quiet and let God do the work. And then I usually stay out of things when God says, no, you need to step in and serve your wife here, or you need to confront your child here. So in my own wisdom, I'm always getting it wrong. And so prayer, the posture of prayer just allowed us to slow down and hear God's voice and be okay sometimes waiting and sometimes leaning into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just even from, you know, we've just answered so many questions over the years of people not knowing how to even begin praying together. I know for Mark and I, we do what we call popcorn prayer, where, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. he might say 2 or 3 sentences and then I might say a sentence or two. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we just kind of, and sometimes then we're just quiet. Mm-hmm. And when we're quiet, we've determined we're not going to be uncomfortable with that quiet.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
We're going to just let God speak to us in that quiet. We're just going to, until he prompts the next thing that we need to be lifting up.
Right.
We're gonna, sit in that. And I think that is, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, the only pattern for prayer that people have is a pastor praying at church on Sunday. They don't know what that looks like.
Right.
Everyday life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so wise. I mean, just being comfortable with the process. Mm-hmm. Joanne and I are working on launching a podcast, and the one we're going to record actually this afternoon is praying as a couple. Mm-hmm. And I, as kind of an analogy in my mind, I'm like, you know, I think learning to pray as a couple is a lot like trying to start a podcast. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know all the ins and outs and the technical. And we literally are kind of learning as we go, and it's awkward and we're starting again. And But to remember that the Holy Spirit is with us in the process. Mm-hmm. And just when, you know, when we're new believers and we're excited and we're learning all these things, you can bring that same aspect into it. So another thing that we did and do, it's become an exciting pattern of our prayer life together, but was we started praying the Psalms, like she said. And that was just a nice way to just open the Psalm and kind of pour our hearts out together. And just, we would each take a verse and kind of go back and forth and then pray through that. And if any of those things related to something one of our kids was going through or something in a marriage, then we just kind of address that to God too. And that was a nice way to kind of help teach us how to do it too.
Yeah,
because the Psalms are just lots of prayers.
Yeah.
It's lament, prayers of lament, a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think an area that our prayer life together has matured over years too is, at first, you know, here, yes, we were in crisis, and that was the tool that God used to teach us a lot about prayer, but the feeling of the prayer was, Lord, I need you to meet my need, which was true, but of course he wants us to approach him for many other things besides just him coming to us as our helper and our provider. And so I can see now we have prayers of confession with each other, where in each other's hearing, we confess how we have failed to show respect or failed to love or failed to be full of grace toward each other. Yes. And so as we confess that in prayer side by side, it's super healing for our relationship for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that is definitely powerful.
Yeah.
And that takes intimacy into me see. A whole different level, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, I just, in a little of the research I was doing for the podcast, there was a Gallup poll that showed that couples that pray together on a regular basis, less than 1% actually end up in divorce. And yeah, I was surprised at that too. If you have an opportunity to have something that'll strengthen your marriage that much, you know, it's worth the practice, all the things that we do, you know, with trying to learn to communicate and things like that. Right. If there's something like that, that shows how it bonds you together, it's worth, like anything else, leaning into it and letting God help you do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. That's a powerful statistic.
Right.
Yeah, in our marriage mentoring, it's been fascinating with each couple that we have spent time with, how when you meet, there tends to be some area of life where they each want their own way, and it becomes such a painful point of conflict. And again, prayer seems to be the medicine for that. When you go to God with this point of conflict, instead of saying, Lord, give me my way, you have two people coming together and saying, Lord, tell us what's your way. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly unifying. And we've watched the Lord do this in front of us repeatedly. That's one of my favorite parts of marriage mentoring. It turns the me versus you into that submission. Lord, just tell us and we'll both go with you.
One of my favorite verses is in James chapter 4, where it talks, why is there quarreling and fighting among you? Is it not because you desire and you can't have? And so then it says, pray to God, but you have not because you pray with the wrong motive. And I think oftentimes we come to situations where we don't know what to do. And we say we want God's will, but a lot of times the conflict comes because I want my will. Right. And when I pray separately, it's easy to throw in a little prayer now and then and say, you know, God, change Joanna's heart. she doesn't see how important this is, you know. But when we pray together, there is more of a submission to God with our things together. Mm-hmm. And God says, you know, you have not because you don't ask. And you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motive. And when we come together in prayer, we can really lay all of our burdens together down before God and hear him in a different way. I think even then when we're praying for each other alone or for situations alone. So,
Yeah.
Wow.
Very powerful.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, really. It provides a mutual accountability just by the nature of it.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I think accountability has a negative connotation for people. Mm-hmm. But it's a mutual vulnerability.
Yeah.
That's a good way of saying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think most of us long to be more connected to our spouse, mm-hmm. but we don't realize how much we hold the key to that mm-hmm. upon our own willingness to be more vulnerable.
Yeah,
for sure.
More humble, more surrendered, all of that. Mm-hmm. We really hold the key to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to generalize, but I think that's even more so oftentimes the longing of a wife's heart, because there is a more of a relational sense there of connection. And so sometimes I think that's a great place to start for a husband maybe who struggles to share feelings or things like that, to come together, or in either case, it's a great way to start breaking down those walls and being more vulnerable and allowing your spouse to see you in that vulnerability. So it builds in so many foundational things into our lives. So
yeah, it's a pretty huge trust builder for me with Rob. If I know by hearing him pray that he is committed to following the Lord and putting our family in God's hands, I would follow this guy to the ends of the earth, because he's not just pulling out some plan out of his head. You know what I mean? So I feel like it gives me a lot of confidence.
And we've had that so many times where we react to each other. You know, there's a situation. The most recent is I wanted to look into rental property, and there was different. We've been praying about that for a long time, and we had different feelings about it. I wanted to look into it and take the risk, and she didn't. And so whenever we would come to that talk, part of the reason it took so long, I don't think, was because God wasn't hearing our prayer. It was because we kept, like, we either didn't want to address it or it brought tension. So when you come together with those different situations of conflict, we all have different feelings and emotions. It could be fear. It could be, you know, fear on this end of being dragged into something. It could be fear on this end of not getting something. And so ultimately, like that verse in James, it's like laying those quarrels and fighting aside and coming together and saying, you know, we really do want what God wants in these situations, whatever they might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So you guys, your ministry is called Growing Home Together, correct?
Yes.
So what has been the impetus behind that? What caused you to launch that ministry? And obviously you minister to marriages as well as parents and just anything that has to do with home. What was the journey there?
Yeah, so we, you know, God's never taken us in a straight line.
Does he for any of us?
Oh, I don't think so. But, you know, we met at Bible college and she thought she was going to get somebody going into ministry. And then I ended up going into, which sort of was a ministry, but Christian publishing as a sales and marketing professional for 20 years, which is how, Jill, I think I worked for some of your publishers. So that was how we initially got connected. But so I did that for 20 plus years. And then back in 2010, in addition to working for a publisher, we started publishing. And that took on a life of its own. We didn't anticipate that. We wrote from our hearts and what was important to us. Family was really important to us. So we started with I wrote a kids book in 2010. And then we started writing together in 2012. And it was 88 Great Daddy Daughter Dates. Mm-hmm. Was our first book.
Yep. One's on our shelf.
Yep. I led my daughters through most of that. Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
That's so fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that just came out of my heart. You know, I traveled a lot with my job and I just wanted to connect with my kids. So I started doing those dad daughter dates at a young age with each of my three girls individually. And so we just thought that would be a great resource. And that just led to more family products to a point where we were really praying, God, we have to make a decision here because, we're out of balance. We were doing so many projects on the side. And really it ended up being a prayer of stewardship where we just felt like, you know, we're ministering to families through the the books and trying to encourage families, walk alongside them, but we're not really, we don't have any way of connecting with them. If they really want us to pray for them, if they really need us to get in the trenches with them in the struggles and challenges, same ones we've had, they don't have any way of getting a hold of us. So we felt we need to kind of, we did things backwards, you know? We started with the books and now we're trying to let people know, hey, we're here. If we can pray for you or help you, let us know.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of been our journey too. Yeah. I feel like that is exactly what it's been. So yeah, totally understand that. You know, I love, you guys really have quite a few products that are conversation starters and ideas.
Yeah.
And I love that because I think that, you know, that's just the really practical side of parenting, of marriage, of relationships that a lot of times we miss out on or we don't know how to get started.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I know we're definitely feeling in the pandemic, like, okay, we're under the same roof all the time, but it is incredibly hard in this situation, especially to feel like you're connecting in a meaningful way. All the days sort of blend together and it takes a lot more intention. And so a little tool like a conversation card can help you create a moment when you just don't know how.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And we've always felt, we've never felt like experts. we've kind of feel like God's taught us as we've gone. And so our resources, even our books, are very much like, you want to pray more for your kids, here's some prayers. Mm-hmm. You want to have time with your daughter, here's not how to do it, here's just ideas, go do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's how we've had to kind of learn through life. And so we feel like we're just walking alongside with people and saying, you want to communicate more in your marriage, here's some cards, you know, you want to connect with your kids, here's some ideas. And that's kind of how it started. And again, that how God works, even when you're not sure where the future is going, we're able to build relationships that and connect with gift publishers and things to get some of those other things out that we wouldn't have known how to do. So
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So if you could go back and you could give wisdom to a young Robin, Joanna, What would you tell them? What would you whisper in their ears as they are launching into marriage and family, and particularly as it relates to marriage? What do you wish young couples really knew?
Oh, well, the first thing that comes to my mind is just God really does mean what he says, that he is going to finish the work he started in all of his people. And so if you're looking at your spouse and they're not there yet,
right?
you can become, like, my old nickname from Rob was Junior Holy Spirit, which wasn't super effective.
If I could go back, I would take that back. Yeah.
So. I lived with one of those.
God doesn't need our help.
No, but he really does work in your spouse. Across your life together. And really, that's one way that God has even made me fall in love with Jesus more, is watching him work in Rob. And so if you can set yourself free and let God be God and do what he does best, you get to watch him just do his great stuff right in front of you. Just have to get out of the way a little bit. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I think going back to again, what you've written about, Jill, and that we find out as we've moved along, that it's okay. Part of marriage and parenting is God's work and sanctifying process. And it is a growth process. And I think, like I said earlier, it was a real, those first years of marriage were really hard because we were looking to each other to bring complete happiness and fulfillment. And, you know, we were looking to our kids to kind of make us feel better about the areas where we felt in, you know, not sufficient and things like that. And it became this journey of struggle rather than releasing. Again, that's why prayer has become a foundation of what our ministry is about, releasing those things to God and letting God do the work in your marriage and in your life. And that takes a lot of grace. And so I think we've learned over the years to give each other a lot of grace and take the forgivenesses as real, even if we've done those offenses against each other 70 times, seven times, to believe that that it's real, and that each time you forgive each other, it can be a building block, not something to look back and say, oh, they did it again, but see that you're both willing to move forward from there. So I think that's what I would say is don't let God work in the process.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, it makes me think of Gary Thomas's book and the subtitle, What If Marriage Wasn't Designed to Make Us Happy, But to Make Us Holy?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we had our own crisis 8-9 years ago. And I think that was one of those moments that still sticks out in my mind, because so much of it was your journey of mm-hmm. just being midlife crisis, yeah. angry at God, yeah. you know,
being a mess,
walking away. And when you returned home, you'd probably been home like a month.
Yeah.
And he walks in the door and he says, you know what struck me today? And I said, what? And he said, I'm happy. I'm truly happy. Mm-hmm. And I've been pursuing holiness right. and I am happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'd been unhappy for a lot of years.
Right.
And so that was really,
that was
a very powerful moment. I remember mm-hmm. just thinking, wow, I think Gary Thomas is right.
yeah, that is so, I mean, that is so beautiful, because that is our life of faith is a life of paradoxes, isn't it? You know, God says, if you lay down your life, you'll gain it, you know, all these things. And that's true in marriage too. When we really surrender mm-hmm. ourselves to our spouse and we are concerned about their happiness and their joy, you know, we can't be their only fulfillment of it. But when we kind of lay down our own lives, God brings joy to both of us, and that strife, so much of that strife kind of melts away. So that's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, this has been so good, you guys.
Yeah.
We've so appreciated it. We have a question we ask all of our interviewees, and that is, what is your favorite date night activity? So we'd love to know, what is your favorite date night activity?
Okay. Do you want to start?
Sure. So I don't know how you are on your dates, but you tend to, especially when your house is full of kids, use your dates to really download as much as you can of how you're doing and what's going on and what's on your mind and all that kind of stuff. And so sometimes by the end of our dinner out or whatever, you're kind of carrying a lot. And so I don't want to over-spiritualize our dates, but we do end most dates parking somewhere and taking all the stuff that we just downloaded and praying with each other before we go home. Mm-hmm. So we'll try to find somewhere kind of pretty or whatever and just give ourselves a half an hour. And I love that we can kind of come back from our dates with all of that kind of handled and, you know, lift the load a little bit.
Well, it's kind of when you've been downloading it, it's all inside of you. And then really you're ending your day by handing it to the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
That's beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah, mine's way less spiritual than that. So
that's perfectly fine.
You know, it's funny because you have different seasons of life, and we used to never do movie dates because for that reason, we felt like we never get a chance to connect face to face when we had little kids running around and stuff. So we'd want to do things that really where we could look each other in the eyes and talk and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, as we've gotten older and our kids, we've been doing more movie dates.
Yeah.
And I just find those so nice. So we'll do dinner before and maybe ice cream or dessert after, but it just, that being able to just sit together and relax. And there's a theater downtown that has like the recliner seats and, mm-hmm. and just enjoy a movie together. And then it does give us something to talk about in addition to those heavier things, mm-hmm. something light and enjoyable, whether we hated it or not. And so I've really, that's something we've been doing more at this point in life, and I've really been enjoying that. So,
That's great. And I do love when we can really use movies or something that we're watching. Mm-hmm. We've been watching this little series on television.
On Netflix.
Netflix called The Kindness Diaries.
Okay.
It's been quite interesting. And I mean, I'm telling you, every time we finish one, we kind of dissect it, you know, and talk about it. And we've, you know, really appreciated the conversation that it's launched.
Yeah, she's been watching Call to the Midwife with our daughters, but she's not pulled me in there yet. Oh, I don't know if she will.
All the time together.
Oh, do you? Do you
Bob,
do you
like you're missing I do. It.
Okay, well, maybe I need to try it.
I was like, Jill, I'll do this for you, but.
Wow, you're a better husband than I am, clearly.
But now, in fact, we were talking about last night. I said, hey, I think a new season came out on Call the Midwife. We got to start watching that after we're done with Kindness Diaries. So
I like how they weave history into it. And then we've been able to go to London a couple times. So it's kind of fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'll give it a try. I'll get a dozen chocolate chip cookies and give it a try. You know.
There you go. Maybe two.
That's great. I love it. Well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And this is Mark and Jill Savage, along with Rob and Joanna Tigan, with a reminder that a real marriage isn't perfect. A real marriage is two people.
Being perfected.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.